Paul one of those people that God had taken up in the New Testament after Jesus had gone back to heaven, gives us some insight into how he saw what we've received from God and how powerful it is. And we're going to read straight from Scripture, and we've read the Scripture last week, and I'm going to read it for a couple of weeks more, so you're going to get really, really used to it, because it's very, very important. But in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 23, Paul gives some insight into what God has actually, or is actually wanting to do in every single person's life. So you got that? Ephesians, you mean, it's like a memory verse. We're going to remember this. You might be able to quote it. Some of you might even be able to read it with your eyes closed by the time we get through these 4 weeks. And I hope that that is something you can do, but I'd rather that it's your eyes closed here and your eyes open of your heart, that you will know the Scripture, you'll know its impact and how powerful it could be for you. So in verse 17 to 23, Paul prays for the church. And he says that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Not in the knowledge of the world, not in the knowledge of ChatGPT, not in the knowledge of Google, in the knowledge of him. I have to say that because now you're all on the fast, you've all detached from that, you've pushed away those ways, you don't go there first anymore, you go to God. That's what Paul was saying. I don't know what they had in their days, I don't know what type of tablets, stone tablets, papyrus tablets, whatever, but they could get distracted too by things going on around them in culture and the challenges that were going on and the things that were happening in their life. They need to be reminded, the Ephesians church, just like Coastlands needs to be reminded today, that it's actually the knowledge of Christ, that everything comes from him and it's in him. So we're going to be in him, in his presence, in his knowledge, planted in that place. And then he goes on to say, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, opened, that you may know what it is, or what is the hope to which he has called you. Wow, what a settling thing to know the hope to what he's called you. What are the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints? That's in us. Don't look somewhere out there for your inheritance. Don't look for money. Don't look for property. Don't look for, that, all that stuff is going to go. Look around you in here. This is your glorious inheritance. Looking towards one another and saying, this is what God does. Real life. That's why people like reality TV shows, I'm pretty sure. So the glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. It gets very personal, doesn't it? Towards us who believe. If I'm believing in Christ, this is towards me. Hope of the call, understanding, wow, this is bigger than I am, and I'm a part of something. I've got a purpose. Understanding that those around me are not just people to get through life with or tolerate or, at the worst case, just, ignore. These are people who actually God's given as an inheritance. They're image bearers of him. There are those people who are loved by him. He wants them to be his children. These people are to be engaged. And then he goes on to talk about this immeasurable greatness. He says, and what is the immeasurable greatness of the power towards us who believe according to the working of his great might? That he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. Just in case we were doubting God's power to deliver this, he makes it very clear. I'm not operating this through any power that you have. I'm even going to give you the power to walk this through. And the power is not of the type that would just get you through the day. This power is of the type that raises people from the dead. Incomparable. And I love that Paul, I'm trying to emulate his tone a little bit, so I'm not angry or anything, I'm just trying to be passionate, trying to emulate his tone. Paul might have experienced this life-changing reality. And he's writing with that tone, that he doesn't just want them to know that Christ has saved them, but that he is for them every single day. That there's not a day where you and I don't go to the Father and draw from him. There's not a day, there's not a moment where he's not waiting to deliver on what he's promised. So that's what we're reading through, just that little verse. And we said, God, what are you doing in this? That God would want to grow us He would want to multiply this in us, open the eyes so that light is flooding in of who he is and what he's doing and how he's doing it. And that he would also then want to take this beyond us. And we talked about how this is actually going on in three dimensions. It's not just coming to us. It's operating in us and it's going beyond us all the time. It's meant to be moving through. It's meant to be a flow. Who do you think blocks it up? Who do you think might stop the flow? God? It's just the vessel, isn't it? It's just a conduit here. So God's like, open the eyes of their hearts. He wants to open the eyes of their hearts so this flows through us. Because when your eyes are open, everything flows. They're the lamp, it's the lamp to the soul. It's the release of the place that is most precious. If you've given your life to him, you're saying, I've put this in your hands. The most precious thing. Trina read out this morning, my portion. You are my portion, Lord. I'm not looking to anything else. Everything comes from you. Wherever he is and whatever he wants to do. So this morning, we're saying one of the elements of this is that when we come to him, we reconnect with him as we were meant to. God the Father sent the Son that you might be reconnected with him in his goodness, that you might know, firstly, who you're dealing with, that God is good. You meant to say all the time. Benny was talking about that in the song, right? And all the time. He doesn't change. He's not changing around how bad your circumstance is. He's just going to be who he is. And that changes our perspective. So firstly, Paul's saying, he's good. We've got to get this clear. And his goodness is unsurpassed. Even when you think something's going wrong and you're like, God, are you really seeing what's happening? He's like, I'm seeing it in ways you're not even seeing it. And I'm going to deliver it in ways you're not even thinking about. So let me be God. That's what he's saying. And sometimes we want to take back the throne. So then he says, you know, Jesus is the one who I've given the throne to. If I gave it to you, what would you do with it? But I gave it to Jesus, now what would he do with it? Sometimes we just want to take that throne back sometimes, you know. We want to be king of the situation. And he's like, just, he's seated in heavenly places. People are like, that's glorious, until I want to be on the throne. He's already there. He took the position. He's done it. He's the Savior. He's the Lord. And now he is seated on high. All the positions have been filled. Sorry, guys. He just wants to deliver it to you. He just wants to be that for you. So what is it to reconnect? And I was thinking about this. I was thinking about, and I might have preached this before, but I remember as I was growing up and I was on York Peninsula and I had a pastor, older man, farmer. He would always just ask us as young people, ad nauseum, he would walk up and we'd be talking about all sorts of things. And he would just say, how's your relationship with Jesus? And I'm like, I'm trying to talk about footy. I'm trying to talk about stuff I'm doing. I'm trying to talk about where I'm going. You know, really just avoiding the issue. And he's just like, how's your relationship with Jesus? Paul is effectively coming as an apostle to the church of Ephesus and saying, how's your relationship with Jesus? He might have saved you from everything, but do you walk with him? Do you live with him? Do you know him? Do you know his goodness? Do you know that his oneness, he has joined you with him? Like, it's not just, hey, I come to Jesus when I like and then I detach from him. That's what we're doing with technology, not with Jesus, right? Jesus joins us with him. He entwines himself with him. He says, I am the one who has come to save you, and I don't do that at arm's length. He brings you in, and he unites with you, and he takes over everything, and he lets it flow through you. This is phenomenal, guys. And he unites you with the Father and the Spirit. Therefore, you have all of the power of heaven to be united with. And that's why he says, don't unite with other things that aren't for you, that are not powerful, that are not going to be what I have for you. Unite with me. And then he immediately says, now go and tell others. Go and do this towards others. So we don't just reconnect with God, we reconnect with others. But only through understanding his goodness, understanding his oneness, that he's joined with you. He's never going to change his nature of oneness. He's just not going to stop joining things together that are meant to be together. And keeping things apart that are never meant to be together. That's our God. And then he says, now go and do that wherever you are. Some people have made the Great Commission into a task. The Great Commission is an ongoing work towards us, in us, and out of us. And all of its effectiveness is on our ability to receive the goodness of God, the oneness of God, and the ability to walk with His sentness, as we're going to talk about later. Reconnect. How is your relationship? If I just said that this morning without saying Jesus because we're in a church, and I said, how is your relationship, what would you do? What would you be thinking? You would be thinking about your closest human relationship, correct? How's your relationship? If I just said that, walked up to you in the street, how's your relationship? Who would you be thinking about? Now, primarily, we can all be very Christian and say, well, God. But who are you really thinking about? Because those relationships are the ones that cause you the most strain, the most joy, the most freedom, and the most challenge. When something's going wrong there, everything's going wrong. Wow, the room's got a little quiet. What did you say, Dave? How's your relationship, Dave? No. we don't do personal in this room, of course. Just all public. Sorry, Dave. But how is your relationship? What is actually happening? We think about others, right? We think about people around us. And God wants to help us with everything, but start with Him. And that's what He's saying to us this morning. So when Paul's saying that to the Ephesus church, he's like, there's something profound here. Start with the goodness of God. Understand the oneness and the joyness that He wants with you. And be ready that He wants to show everybody this because He wants everybody to have this. So it doesn't allow us to become religious. You know, to hide away and go, when I've got it perfect, then I'll come out like, bang, I've changed. It's not a costume change. It's a life change. It's like God wants to do this live in front of one another. And for the church community, reconnection means being able to be who we are in front of one another and go, wow, that person is transforming. I know that they've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to light. I know they have faith. I know that we're joined by that. But actually, I can see there's an ongoing work of God going there. So at their worst, when they're making the most horrendous mistakes, we can say, actually, you are in a great transforming phase at the moment. God seems to be doing amazing things in your life, or potentially. And when someone's like at the peak of their powers, feeling like they're going really well, we can remind them that God might continue to do some more. I've found those moments where it's like everything's right in the world and everything. They're shorter than the ones where He's growing me and challenging me and moving me. So I know for some of you in this room, it's been a really tough thing to even face a digital fast. You're like, Ben, you could have asked anything. You could have asked food. You could have asked anything, even coffee. Why digitality? Why digital? Because it takes so much of our time across the spectrum. And if you haven't engaged, I want to encourage you. There has been remarkable things happening this week already. I've got a lot more phone calls. That's shifted. The gospel wants to multiply through us. What do you think of when you think about reconnection? What do I have faith for with that relationship? Where does that go? What do I have faith for with that future? We should be asking God, what do you have faith for? That's our response to God. When we know we're in oneness, when we know with Him, it's not what we have faith for, it's what He has faith for. Whew, that's dangerous. Because God's faithfulness, this is the immeasurable, unsurpassed, remember this slide big, we'll get right out there. Immeasurable, unsurpassed, incomparable God. If we dare to ask Him what He has faith for, we're going to get a different perspective of the situation. Amen? And when we've done this, we know how good this is. And for those of you who've never done it, I want to tell you how good it is. But God wants to make sure that there is nothing off limits from Him. So we might say, how's your relationship? How's your relationship with God? How's your relationship with one another? How is your relationship? Our answer should be, I don't know, go back. I'm going to trust God for what He has faith for. How willing are we to really see what Jesus sees? Because Jesus sees everything. Isn't that amazing? Jesus sees everything and still loves us. All those bits you thought you were hiding. He's the light, friends. Sorry, I just want to break that, sort of just giving a disclaimer. Jesus is the light. He's not a torchlight. He is the light. All of heaven in Revelations, it says, will be actually, the power source will be him. You won't need to worry about energy, solar power, or anything else. Jesus will be the light. So when we understand Jesus is the light, he is warm, relational, responsive, he sees everything and still accepts me, that's when we can come to him. And his people actually are meant to look like it. We start to get transformed to being the same. That we have the same light, the same response, the same seeing, the same believing, the same faith, and the same sort of relationships. If I mention relationship one more, I can feel that someone's head's going to explode. Someone else said it. But remember when, like this week, we had our wedding anniversary, right? Friday, thank you. Well done to Trina. That will continue to happen to about the 50-year mark, I reckon, and then I might get some sort of credit. Just for... But I know there's people who have been in this room married longer than us, but I remember that every time we sort of come to an anniversary moment, a big moment, you recall, hey, what has delivered us here? You know, there is God. I know that there's God, there's Trina, and there's some things that we've learned. You know? There's things we've learned along the way that we recall. What keeps us moving? It's important that when reconnecting with God, that you might take some time this week maybe, but start it in your life. I would say commend it to you every day. Have an anniversary and remember, recall what God has done. Because we recall, there has been a salvation moment. I was able to get to know someone, come towards them, God put us together, and there was a new entity birthed. And I was thinking about, man, actually across this room, I know so many of you, we've been on that journey with you. All the people who've been married in this room, I look at them across, I'm looking here, I'm like Coralie and Adam, you know, Ethan and Laura, like, there's a couple about to be involved in that. But I think about people that we've been involved in their pre-marriage, the reality of what they're going through, and we get to look upon the reality of when God brings something together. And when they can't recall, I can recall. And I can remember what they were before that moment. And then I can remember what they were after they were joined. Some people only ever get to know the after they were joined. And then that's how it should always be, right? That's what God is wanting for every person on the planet. That they haven't found the one, Jesus, and then they find him, and then he finds them, and then they are united, and we can't even remember what they were before. Because it's so powerful who they are together now. Amen? That's Christ and his church. That's the theology we're talking about. That's the thing that is happening. That is a sign and a wonder that cannot be done just in human strength, but needs to be done by God's strength. So as we recall, there's things we remember. There's things that have happened. There's things we've got through with God. There's things where we've seen him deliver time and again his goodness, his kindness, his oneness, his sentness to our lives. There's a recommitment moment that follows. We're going to talk about that next week. We're able to recommit to the future. If we can remember what God has done, if we can remember his goodness, if we can remember how close he has brought us, that's right, I'm one with you. Then we can think about the future. What am I sent into? You know, I read something this morning by a philosopher, and it said that if you continue to make your response avoidance, it will become your pattern of living. I was just thinking in light of this. If we make our response complete acceptance of Christ and response to him, that will become our pattern of living. If in every occasion, despite how we're feeling, we accept God's love, accept God's purpose, accept what he has for us, that's going to change how we live. But I heard that philosopher, who's obviously seen a lot in life and divulged and tried to understand, why do people avoid things? It's not that they want to, it's that it becomes a pattern. And every time you avoid something, it becomes okay. That's just the way we do things. I didn't think this room could get quieter, but there's a moment of recall. There's a moment of righteousness. where the things that are good that have been put together, Paul's saying, remember what's good. You have a hope for your call. You have immeasurable richness from God, but you have an inheritance in this family. So I was thinking about what is good that has been joined together. Fish and chips. Every time I see a packet of chips sitting on its own, I'm like, something's not right. It's not living in the full glory of its state. Now, I've removed all football analogies. I did that through the blood of Jesus. But fish and chips, you all laugh. This one was nicer. Summer and sunsets. You know, an Aussie sunset. What's better than sitting on the beach and looking out across an Aussie sunset thinking, how good is this? That should always go together. In South Australia, unfortunately, wind always turns up. I can't deal with that, but that's okay. I was thinking about people in our community, Gavin Gale, Benny and Crystal. They stood up before us, they might as well be here again. Josh and Candace, you know, there's the things like, we don't remember what they were before, we remember what they are now. And so that's the set reality for us in Christ, is we remember who we are with Him. And that's how we look at one another, and then that's how we look at our future together. So there's a righteousness. Things that should be together are together. When we think about that, God's goodness, His oneness, many people, even in this room, whether salvation has come to your life and we've rejoiced that Jesus has found you and you found Him, whether you've been married in this, not in this room, some of you in this room, but if you've been married and you're in this room, we now remember you as that entity. God has done something in you and through you. We remember these things that are around us. We remember that God put these things together. He assembled it in Him, and now it is for His glory. That's what happens when the eyes of our heart are open to what God's saying and doing. Just back to the scripture so you don't lose track. That His goodness towards us, to us who believe. That His oneness, the joinedness reality for Him and us together, is the hope to which we are called. And the sentence is according to the working of His great might. You don't need to spend another moment earning, burning, trying to get things to happen outside of His power. And when He gets things to happen, you just hold on. You know, you can be in the vehicle, you may not have the wheel. Anyone been with a driver like that? Trina says amen. What wasn't, but now is, we couldn't imagine being any other way. You might think I'm laboring the point. You would be correct. But when we remember things, remember, God puts us back together in our thinking, in our spirit, in our heart, in our mind, by His order, then He can remember us as His body. Put us back together. I mean, I was just thinking about someone missing a limb that's reconnected to their body, really feels it. Really knows that's happened. Gets the movability, the availability back. That's going to be a significant moment. I was thinking about the body this morning, the moment of seeing someone return. We might think return to faith, but actually we've had someone return from Singapore. Been away for 3 months, one of our family. 5 months. Sorry, man. And the immediate response is joy, love, compassion. Welcome back. You were always meant to be here. No, I'm not prophesying that, but you know, Oscar, you know, but you are. And but you're not always meant to be here, you know. But the reality is that we feel it, right? Whenever there's a returning family member, it's like, yes. We're better. We feel better. That's better now. That's how it's meant to be. Whenever we are reconciled to Christ, joy overflows like the return of one who has been long held from us. When we are reconciled to Christ, we are home, we are found, we belong, and we realize it. I didn't know this before. So we are his body, his goodness, his oneness, his sentness is extended to us. How we see Jesus will transform how we see others. So that's why Paul says, open your eyes of your heart. Don't look around you with your natural eyes, or you're going to see all sorts of things. Open the eyes of your heart. See how I see. Let your hearts be open and available to him. This will bring fellowship, the ability to share with one another the truth in love. We've got to reciprocate that. When family talks, family can say the truth in love. Always beneficial, not always receptive. You know, I wear what I'm wearing today because of the constant help of my daughters. They will help me to know. They don't know how much they help me. If I step out on a Sunday morning wearing something that is not appropriate for my age and is more appropriate for their age and is bringing some sort of great abomination to that, they will let me know. And I'm thankful for that. And in fact, I think they might have a ministry and they could go to many churches and help many pastors my age. But anyway. But that's outside things, isn't it? What about inside things? Things in our heart. I can see you're wrestling with that. I can see you're struggling through that. Can I pray with you? Can I stand with you? Can I let you know that I know the God who can change things? You know the God who can change things. Let's be together. Let's let our hearts, let's share these things together. And let's take them to Christ. Fellowship with one another, sharing what we have. Peter and John going to the gate to the lame man, not having any money, and walking to him and saying, such as I have, I give. Man, he got the best deal ever. He got Christ from them and he stood up and walked. If they'd given him a few dollars like everybody else had done every other day, nothing would have changed. Groundhog Day, same thing's going to happen tomorrow. But the hands were filled with something different. So we're talking about God saying, I want your hearts. I want your eyes first of your hearts. I want your hearts to be open to the fellowship I have for you, to reconnect with me and others. I want you to be able to have hands that are ready to be filled with what I've given you for the day, for you and for others, that are not necessarily seen on this earth. But they're empty, that they can be filled, clean, that they can be trustworthily used, trained, that they can skillfully deliver what God's called them to. And a voice. Remember Josh preaching this back in January. That can declare the mighty works of God. That if they're not quite there yet, are on the way. That we know it is in us, it has happened through us, and now it is beyond us. It is happening for others. Declaring the works of God. That's the body, friends. The eyes, the hearts, the hands, the voice, all his. And that's how he uses us. There's a faith that is deeper. I've been using this word sentness. What does that mean? As I sort of come to a winding up today. What does it mean to be sent? I don't know if it really is a word, but I like making up words because the English language doesn't have one. What we're talking about is this, that you have been saved if you've believed in Jesus Christ, confessed it with your mouth, believed it in your heart, and declared him to be Lord and King. Your life has been transferred from darkness, and now you understand what daylight looks like. You understand the light of God and what happens, that he will relieve your life from the pressures of this world and deliver you to the power of his world. He's incomparable. He's unique. God's nature is not changing around what we think or imagine. He is who he says he is, incomparable, unique. His attributes are beyond measure. His power, his presence, his glory, exemplified in his incomparable nature that warrants our deepest reverence and worship as believers. But if your eyes aren't open, we can't see that. But and when our eyes are open, when we believe, our response is total reliance and reverence. That's what that says. My life is spent... You spent your life on seeing your church come together. I'll spend my life on the same thing. Seeing us be together and you bring us together. To truly live in the concept of what it is to be unsurpassed, be released from all the things that hold us, we cultivate a reliance on God's strength. It's not a once-off thing. It's an ongoing, living reality. And maintain a posture of reverence in our daily lives and worship practices. That means I don't go too far down the negativity path before I respond and say, but God is good, and so what does that mean to this circumstance? Now, we've got to be real. David, one of the most heralded people in the Bible, writes the Psalms, and they are full of negative going-ons that happen all around him, but they always end up with him going, now, God, what do you say about this? And then he recites that, and pretty much it's very hard to recite what God's saying or read what God says and not change your view of what he's now going to do. And that's why we come together. But very simply, this is who God is, incomparable and unique, and our response to seeing that is to become reliant and reverent. He becomes the one who delivers everything for us and in us and through us. Paul recounts it in this way, and the guys are going to put a scripture up. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 to 7, it says, for God who said, we got that there, guys? Yeah. For God who said, not us. This is your let there be light moment. Once you see him, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, let there be light, has now shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory in the face of Jesus. It's personal. It's not ethereal. It's Jesus. That's where the light's coming from. We know. He's shone in our hearts. The same light, the same power that set light in darkness on creation now shines in yours and my heart. But we have this treasure, that power in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Why are we frail? Because he is all powerful. I can take the frailest, most broken things and shine with all of my glory. So it's non-disqualified, isn't it? You bring me your stuff and I'll give you my stuff. That's what he's saying. And I'll deliver it through you. Just have to surrender. And we talked about this last week, that to yield, to become a field. Jesus was the first fruit, right? He was the first fruit. He sowed his life that we might have life. And then he says, do the same. Sow your life that others may have life. The word yield, it's very simple. Surrender control, submit to God's will, and you will produce spiritual fruit. Very simple, isn't it? Let everything go you were relying on. Let everything go that you were reverencing. We even give our fear to things that are actually determined for God. Our reverence. I have to say sometimes to people, worry is not going to help you. It's not even going to deliver anything different. Put that energy, all that energy you use on worry and fear, into God. Watch what he does. This savedness and this sentness, God is wanting to take even this morning to ones around us. We acted on it immediately at the start of this service. We immediately went beyond ourselves. We prayed for those who were going through things. The eyes of our hearts were open. We saw what they might be going through. We prayed for them in the way that God does when he's one and then releases his presence to them for those things to happen in them. Remember what we're talking about is that we are wanting to become deeper in faith. We want to become stronger in the hope that we have and actually love wider because he gets our hearts open and our hands open and our voice speaking the things that he wants to speak. This is how powerful fellowship is, and I'm going to land in this scripture. 1 John 1, verse 5 to 9. You notice I'm talking about a lot about the light and who the light is and who now the light's come to, these vessels. Fragile, human. But in this passage, John, who was one of Jesus' closest disciples, says, this is the message that we have heard from him and now proclaim to you. See the voice? Immediately I've heard it and now I speak it to you. Good news. That God is light and in him is no darkness at all. When God comes, there will be light. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, that's what he's calling us to. I'm going to stand in your presence, God, knowing that you know all things, you see all things anyway, and you still accepted me. Your power was unsurpassing. Your greatness was too good. It dealt with my sin. It dealt with my slavery. It dealt with Satan. It dealt with all the things that were afflicting me. Your power dealt with that. You've overcome me. Listen to this, though. As he is the light, we have... But if we walk in the light and he is the light, what's the first thing it says? You'll be free to go to heaven. You'll get all your bills paid. Does it say that? No, it says the biggest thing for the Father is that you would have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Ah, there's the old blockage. Our fellowship with him was affected by sin, and our fellowship with one another is affected by sin. Sin is just something that separates us from God and separates us from one another. So when I say, how is your relationship? I guarantee you, if it's separated from someone, God or someone else in this room, there's going to be something that sin's had something to do with. Pride, perseverance, issues. Maybe there's other issues. But it'll be something that has separated you. If you don't want to use pride, you can use conceit, because that's just a nicer way of saying pride. But generally, there's something that separates, and God wants to come in and say, what do you have faith for? And then our answer is, what do you have faith for, God? Because what I have faith for to remove and what he has faith for to remove, completely different level. But he wants fellowship right up front. He wants us not to be separated, not alone, but to belong and engage and be deeply connected with one another as he is connected with us. And the blood of Jesus, the very death of Jesus, the power of Jesus, back to 1 Thessalonians, the power that raised him from the dead is available to ensure that you can walk in depth of relationship. Cleanses us from all sin. Full stop. Full stop. I've made a way where there was no way, is what Jesus is saying. So what does it mean for us this morning? How do we land this, Ben? How do I reconnect? How do I reconnect with God? I'm disconnected from my device. Maybe you've deleted apps. Maybe you've stopped watching certain shows so much. Maybe you've sharpened your time. How are you feeling about that? I felt a bit agitated. I read a lot of news services. I just felt agitated. Don't know why I felt agitated. I take it to God. He's like, yeah, that's because you've been using it on that, not me. Now I get to refill that with him. Now what happens? There's time. There's energy. There's a lot of phone calls that needed to be made and received. I didn't have time to read those articles. Maybe God's just waiting for you to free up time. Maybe he's waiting for me to free up time. Maybe I was cancelling all the Uber God requests. Imagine if he had a people available all the time for his service and his kingdom and his reverence and his awe. Sorry, I'm not available. I'm reading news articles. Man, I must look like an idiot. I'm available. Choosing a more meaningful connection and a less meaningless distraction. That's what my friend Alan Frau said. They've been doing a fast in Southlands Church as well in LA. Choose more meaningful connection and less meaningless distraction. I mean, that's not just for digital fast, is it? That's for everything. That's what we're talking about this morning. A face-to-face conversation, a deep resolution, an ongoing walk with someone is far more fruitful, sometimes more painful, sometimes more joyful, but definitely fruitful than anything else. Let's return to God. This is how we reconnect. We return to God with a wholehearted response. God, I may not have been walking everything with you. I'm coming back to you. If you've never understood who God is and you've heard it this morning, do you know you are a returning son or daughter? That you didn't even know it. You got a family that you didn't even know you had. You got a father you didn't even know you had. You got brothers and sisters that you didn't even know you had. And there's a return. Come home. Like we embraced Oscar, who got back from Singapore, we'll be embracing you and saying thank you for coming to the family. Coming back to God. There's a return that needs to happen. There's a repent that needs to happen. Repent is not this like moment of furrowed brow and standing. Repent is run back to God. Turn around, leave what you're in, and go to Him. And don't go back. Don't look back. Don't feel like you need to go back. Just go to Him. That's repentance. Oh, but I've got to, leave it. Go. Turn to Him. There's nothing there for you. Everything's in God. Then we can truly reevaluate and say, okay, God, speak to me by your Spirit. Open up the Scripture. Tell me where I really stand. Wednesday night, what an opportunity. Family, you come together and go, hey, where do we stand? After we've returned to you, we've repented from walking in all other ways, and we're now here with you. We want to reevaluate. Let's stand together in the spirit of unity and in the understanding of Scripture and see what you're really saying. We're your family, God. It's us, not I. We are available. There's a reordering that happens when we reevaluate. And intentionality comes from that. I can make decisions. God, I now see a proper order. For some, it might be the simplicity of this. You first, then me, and work it out from there. When you get really good at it, it'll be Him first, others, and we'll get to this sometime. We get to re-engage action.